This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we find that unfortunately that some of us begin to lose focus or begin to lose intent. What is the intent of maqasid al-sharia, the intent of the Islamic law, or what is the intent of the Quran and the Sunnah? Because many of us become attracted to so many different things, and because we don't live in a conducive environment to remind ourselves that what are the priorities that concern us. That's a person who is engaged and attached to the Quran will see central themes, major themes inside the Quran which reoccur again and again for a specific reason, to show importance, to show the impact of the Quran. Thus we find amongst the major themes of the Quran, or two main themes, is one is Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and secondly is Taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus you read through the Quran in great detail, or even if you don't read in great detail, you'll see in general, every other page or every page would either speak about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would speak about piety, about devotion, or combine the two together. That oneness in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belief in that oneness, leads to taqwa Allah, leads to consciousness, leads to devotion, leads to amal, leads to actions. That's what tawheed is, that's what belief is. That's what taqwa Allah is, consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. It's not rhetoric. It's not linguistics. It's not mesmerizing words. Inni akhafu Allah, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not what the Quran penetrates into. It focuses not just on the mind of the individual. It focuses primarily on the heart. That's Allah mentions, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٍ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. That day your wealth and your property won't avail you except for the one who comes with a pure heart, a sound heart. Thus the Prophet ﷺ numerous times always, أَلَا إِنَّ تَقْوَى هَا هُنَا. Consciousness is here. It's not the external garb, if we can use that linguistically, not to say it's not important, but real inner consciousness is inside the heart. It's in the chest of the individual. If that becomes fine-tuned, the life of the individual, if you can use such a word, becomes perfect. أَلَا إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُدْغَةٍ. Indeed, inside the body is a morsel of flesh, is a piece of flesh. That's how the hadith described it, a flesh. This piece of flesh, if it's pure, if it's wholesome, the whole body will become wholesome. If this piece of flesh becomes corrupt, then the whole body will become corrupt. That's how simple the human being is. That's when you see corruption on the earth, it's actually corruption of the heart. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, it's not the eyes which have become blind, وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبِ, but it's the heart that become blind, الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ, which happens to be in the chest of the human being. When your heart is sealed, it's not the eyes which are blinded. The heart becomes sealed, then you become blinded in what you want to do. You forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't carry out all acts of atrocities, looting, plundering, killing, slaying, torture, oppression, dhunub, ma'asi, dhulm, dhulumat. All of it stems from the heart. The heart is corrupt, then the body follows. That's Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali mentions that the heart is the king and the limbs are the soldiers. Just like in the world today, soldiers are corrupt because the king is corrupt, the leader is corrupt, they're just a reflection. So when the heart of the human being becomes corrupt, the limbs, the body becomes corrupt, the actions become corrupt. Even those actions that we're supposed to be doing on a daily basis just become rituals. Rituals as the Quran documents. They only offer the prayer, يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They only offer the prayer just to be visualized by the people, Ramadan. So let people see that I'm praying. because I don't want to be left out. Everyone's going to the masjid, everyone's fasting, everyone's doing these actions. So let me just become a chameleon. Let me come, change my colours to be with the people, to mix with the people, to be with the people. لَعَلَّ فِي ذَلِكَ خَيْرٍ. Maybe there's goodness inside, at least the person has some feeling. But as we mentioned many times, that's the only intent, just to mix with the people on that occasion. And then after that, كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Then after that, throw the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind your back as if you don't know. Harsh words. فَصِيَامُكُمْ بَاطِلٌ. Your fasting becomes invalidated with the near intention that just to go back and to do whatever I want to do before. This is a month of Ramadan, taqwallah, consciousness, devotion, to change yourself. That's what Islam encourages us to do. And then when the heart becomes full of taqwallah and tawheed of Allah, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. There's some people who love their rivals. They love people, they love human beings, they love whatever it may be. It's opposite to Allah. It bi-ma'na shariq, opposite to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Associations besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They love them, they obey them. They believe that they all end. These individuals are on a dangerous path. As for the believing individuals, are those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala severely. A deep love. So when the heart of the human being is filled with devotion, حب الله سبحانه وتعالى, طاعة الله سبحانه وتعالى, تقوى الله سبحانه وتعالى, is filled inside the heart of the individual, it becomes receptive. And that's why in today's hadith we find that what is the reception of the heart of the human being? How does it become? Respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this hadith, Irbad ibn Sariyah, that we find. The narrator's hadith that we find among the fourth most individuals to enter into Islam. Classified people, Ahlul Sufa. And the strange thing about Ahlul Sufa is that they normally speak about Umur al-Akhirah. They speak about affairs of the hereafter, because they were the poor, downtrodden, destitute individuals. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated the most ahadith of the Prophet alayhi salam in such a short span of time, because he was in his sufa, his companionship. Because they had no work, they had nothing else to do, always in close proximity. And that's mostly ahadith speaking about spirituality. And he's been classified amongst those individuals that they begin to weep when they don't find anything to spend inside Surah At-Tawbah, spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And strange is, look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them to narrate certain wordings. He narrates this hadith, قَالَ صَلَّى لَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ صَلَاتُ الْفَجْرِ. Where his wordings occur inside this hadith, but the word that we're mentioning here today. The Prophet ﷺ, he led Salat al-Fajr in the morning. And after the prayer, because this was the practice of Prophet ﷺ, to find moments to remind his people. Not like many of us that Salah is finished just quickly hasten. وَلَا أَذْكَرْ. No dhikr, no remembrance of Allah. No dua ila Allah. This is not the way for a believer. A person completes their prayer. If they have to leave, then they may leave. But other person should be habitual in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the Prophet ﷺ. He chose those moments that people were gathering together in the morning, but he reminded them. وَعَذَنَا مَوْعِذَةً بَلِيغَةً. He gave us such a strong admonition. And even you study linguistics, لُغَةً كَلِمَةً مَوْعِذَةً. What does مَوْعِذَةً mean? Does the Quran speak? وَعِذْهُمْ وَقُلْ لَهُمْ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَوْلًا بَلِيغًا. Give them a stern admonition. وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ. That's how the Quran says, remind, strong admonition. The Quran isn't soft when it comes to remembrance. The Quran is about awakening the individual. لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. We set down this Quran on the mountain and turn it into dust. That's the power of the Quran. The Quran is there to awaken. That's what it done to the Quraysh, that's what it done to the non-Muslims. It awoke them. Who were eloquent, baligh, fasaha, eloquent in their speech, in their linguistics, mesmerized people with their words. Inna min al-bayani al-sihra, from certain people who provide their speech is magic. Encompass crowds, encompass people with their speech. When they heard the Quran, وَإِنَّ لَهُ حَلَاوَةً. The Quran Quran is unparalleled. That's the impact the Quran had upon them. And these were people who were given the miracle of linguistics were given to them. So they had to bow and submit to the Quran. And that's what the Quran should do to us. That those of us in this blessed month of Ramadan, if we don't understand the Quran, أَقَلُّ شَيْءٍ, the least thing we should have inside our hearts, that by next year I want to at least understand some portion of the Quran. That if the Imam reads about Jannah, reads about Nar, about Paradise, about Hellfire, about punishment, about Adab, about torture, about blessings, I want to be able to travel with the Quran. I want to be able to understand the Quran, to live with the Quran. That's the least that we should have inside our hearts. That how can I be a person and I don't understand the Quran? I can't relate to the Quran. People speak about qaswatul qulub, hardness of their hearts. This is one reason. We don't understand the words of Ar-Rahman. We don't understand the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our hearts have become hardened, have become deadened. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَأَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Has not time come from the believing individuals, their hearts become full of tranquility, of serenity, of peace, of leniency, of coming towards the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَرَفَتْ مِنْهَا الْعُيُونَ وَوَجِلَتْ مِنْهَا الْقُلُوبُ. Such a strong admonition that he gave us, that they began to shed tears. They began to weep. And their hearts began to quiver, began to shake. These are grown men. This is Abu Bakr Siddiq. This is Umar al-Khattab. This is Uthman ibn Affan. This is Ali ibn Abi Talib. These are grown up men who are weeping. How is that plausible? How is that possible that people, such individuals, personalities, they can weep? Even before that, how can it be possible that the Prophet Islam, he weeps? When he would hear the Quran, he would weep. The impact of the Quran, even inside prayers, Hadith Sunan Abi Dawood that we find, we could hear a sound like the boiling of a cauldron, boiling of a pot, emanating from the chest of the Prophet Islam. How he's crying. We went to the graveside one day, one occasion, and he reminded the individuals there. They looked on the ground and there's a puddle of water. A puddle of water. This puddle of water was droplets weeping of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and reminding his followers, prepare yourself for this day of returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does this take away anything of their manhood? Does this take anything away from them? These are the best of men, and he's the best man. But it shows the impact of the Quran upon these individuals. That's the Quran itself, let it speak itself. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, the believing individuals, those individuals, when they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find that their hearts begin to shake. When ayat are recited upon them, زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. It increases them in iman. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Doesn't this mean they just listen to it and siphon it off? It increases them in tawakkul ala Allah. Tawakkul billah. Their reliance, that's what iman does. It makes your total reliance be only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what happens with the impact of the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another place in the Quran that we find, speaking about Ahlul Kitab, inside Surah Al-Ma'idah that we find, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. If the people of the book were to hear the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hear the ayah recited upon them, what happens to them? You find that their eyes begin to shed tears. This is the Quran praising the Christians. When they hear the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they hear the Quran, it will have an impact upon them. And likewise, that Surah Az-Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the impact of the Quran. تَقْشَعِرُ مِنْهُ جُلُودُ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ. That the hair of their arms become raised. Because when they hear the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of fear, then their hearts come back into a state of tranquility and peace. That's what the Quran does. The language of the Quran upon the believing individuals. فَقَالَ قَائِلٌ. So a person posed this question. Ya Rasulullah, كَأَنَّا مَوْعِدَةُ مُوَدِّعِ. As if this is the final admonition. Fa'usina, give us some advice. Perhaps you're not going to live after this day. Always seeking khair, seeking goodness. Give us a reminder that will benefit us. So he began to mention them, Usikum bittaqwallah. The first advice I can give you, the first legacy, the first admonition, is for you to have consciousness regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's if you look at the commandments inside the Quran, if you look at the Quran, if you take it in a chronological order, you find there in every single surah, you'll find key ayat inside there speaking about consciousness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, you find awwal amr fil Quran, Ya ayyuhan nasu ubudu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Ajeeb. First command, awwal amr fil Quran, to the whole of mankind. Worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Tawheed. The one who created you and those before you. For what purpose? La'allakum tattaqun. You may attain the consciousness. Al-alaqa bayna al-tawheed wa taqullah. Between the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your piety. That's why even the ayat of Siyam, I'm sure all of us have memorized by now. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Why? Is fasting just avoidance of food and drink, marital relationships? There's a deeper meaning. Deeper than that, you may attain the consciousness, devotion. As we look at throughout the Quran, you find this link. That even the ritual, the practices that we do are linked with ta'ah, linked with obedience, linked with staying away from disobedience. As-salah. Inna as-salata tanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar. As-salah takes you away, drags you away from munkar, from al-fawahish. If your salah is not taking you away from evil, from bad things, bad practices, don't question as-salah, question your own self. That's what a person needs to question their own self. How much of my salah do I understand? How much of my salah has an impact upon me? How much of my salah reforms me? How much of my salah will testify against me? Does he find some narration that inside the grave, a salah will come inside the grave, will become a form of nur, a light for the individual inside the grave? This is the goodness, good garments, good fragrance, good smell. These are the good deeds. This is your salah. And a person who never preserved it, who never took care of it, become like a filthy garment inside the grave of the individual. That's why you find, أول ما يحاسب عليه العبد يوم القيامة. First thing the person will be asked about on the Day of Judgment is about As-Salah. Amongst ulama mentioned final words of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, As-Salah, As-Salah, وما ملكت أيمانكم. As-Salah, As-Salah. On his deathbed, about to leave this dunya, he reminds his followers, As-Salah, As-Salah. Don't forget about the prayer. This is the beginning, the middle, the all end of the believer. Look at some of the narrations. Even one salah. We should feel scared, we should feel threatened. A person misses Salatul Asr inside Sahih Muslim, it's as if that person has lost all their family and all their wealth. We don't want to apply it upon any of us, may Allah forbid. But just ponder over that. One salah. Person misses it, has lost all their family members and lost all of their wealth. Imam Nawawi inside his Sharh of Sahih Muslim begins to have a discussion about why specifically Salatul Asr is mentioned. Because this is a time when a person is with their family, engrossed inside their business, coming towards the latter part of the day. Time overcomes them. Person becomes ghafil, becomes heedless. But look at the severe warning. What could happen to the individual? We find it trivial. We find it, why are we again and again? At-tawheed biduni salam. Now you feel. You can't say that you're a person, you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you don't pray. You don't observe that regulation, because this is the beginning of your tawheed, the beginning of your oneness, to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show your devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, you find after this inside the Quran, if you look at Surah Al Imran. يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Oh, you believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that due fear. And don't die except in a state of submission. Then inside Surah Al-Imran, in Surah An-Nisa, that we gave this legacy, وَلَقَدْ وَصَيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. another verse in Surah An-Nisa, we gave the legacy to people before you and to you. What was the advice given to people before us and given to us today? Anittaqullah, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Surah Al-Ma'idah, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah only accepts from the pious individuals. We should be over worried. What type of actions are we doing presenting in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As we mentioned, go through the whole Quran in general. And you can pluck out main ayat inside speaking about consciousness, devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as some of the ulama mentioned, taqwa is derivative. أَكْثَرْ مِنْ أَلْفْ مَرَّةِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. More than 1,000 times inside the Quran, Allah speaks about piety, about consciousness, about devotion that we find. And sometimes when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about consciousness, He links it with punishment. He links it with the fire. For what purpose? To remind the individual that taqwa, as we mentioned, leads towards actions. When Allah mentions, وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي عُدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Fear the fire which has been prepared for the disbelieving individuals. Does it just mean just say, I fear the fire? Or does it mean to abstain from the actions of the kuffar of disbelieving individuals? Then Allah gives the remedy, وَأَطِيُوا اللَّهُ وَالرَّسُولُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. إشارة خفية, and a sign, a symbolic gesture to us that if you want to be taqwa Allah, then obey Allah. And obey the message, you may become successful individuals. Likewise, the final ayah inside the Quran, inside Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 281, Imam Suyuti inside his works, Al-Itqan fi Ulum Al-Quran, mentions, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ is classified as the final ayah set down inside the Quran. لِأَنَّ الرَّسُولَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَسَلَمْ only lived for 9 days. After his verses sent down, he lived for 9 days. That's the ulama of Ulum al-Quran, as mentioned, Imam Suyuti mentions, this is classified as the final verse inside the Quran. Even look at the siyaq, look at the context of this ayah. It's ajeeb. Before it, you find about ayat, about riba. After you find ayat about dain, the longest ayah, ayat to dain, is the longest ayah inside the Quran that takes one page. Right in the middle of this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, reminding us about what? Ahkam, but reminding us about وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Fear that day, you're going to go back to Allah. So even if you're living in this dunya, rules and regulations, they're important. But the inner concept of the Muslim's life is what? It's devotion. That's even Hajj, the ritual of Hajj that you find. لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. It's not the flesh and the blood, the sacrifice that's going to be offered on the days of Tashriq. That's a ritual that we have to offer. But Allah mentions that Surah Al-Hajj, what really travels to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is consciousness. Likewise, speak again about Hajj, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. وَتَزَوَّدُوا, take your provision. Yes, get prepared to go and perform the journey to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't prevent us from preparing inside this dunya. But once again, the ishara, the real preparation that you need to hold inside your hearts and your mind is zadul taqwa. Is the zad, the provision of consciousness, of devotion, commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's even how to develop taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Numerous aspects are collected and mentioned by the ulama. Amount of ulama of tazkiyah. Amongst them, the beginning being that your total reliance, your tawakkal is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any good, anything we can use, any bad or any hardship, anything that befalls the individual, deep down in the heart, individual, the person is content. This is decreed from amongst the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like constant remembrance, dhikr Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. Is taqwa Allah, especially fi sir, especially when a person is on their own. In a gathering, we can all encourage ourselves, which is khayr, which is good. But when a person is on their own, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we find 7 individuals who will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby there will be no shade except for His shade. And amongst those 7 categories that we find, a person who sits all alone and remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they begin to weep. All alone. We're remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what taqwa Allah is. That's what consciousness is. It's to look back in their life. Look into their life. Think and ponder about their life. And that oneness, that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we find recognizing that shaitan is the enemy. So many passages inside the Quran that he's a devout enemy. He's always going to come to take people away. We can find this amongst us today that we get derailed very easily. Those core elements we began, we need to focus inside our life. We don't want to focus upon them. We want to focus on other discussions, other debates, other things that are taking place around the world. Sometimes it may be important. For every time there's a place, there's a word that needs to be made. But we can see how many of us are just derailed away. That in this month of Ramadan, we're failing to focus towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, when remembrance of death. Frequent remembering of death, it creates taqwa Allah. Person visits the graves, goes and buries a dead individual, sees this is going to be the ending. Thus you find that the first thing which is taken away from the individual when a person leaves this dunya is ismuhu, is his name. The name that we all boast about, the ego that we have, the title, the lineage, call me by this name, respect me by this name. The first thing that is taken away from the individual is their name. It will just be said, bring the corpse, bring the body, bring the funeral, bring the bear, bring the individual, bring the dead individual. Pray upon the dead individual. First thing is dismantled from the individual is your name. Because that's all remains is nothing but a dead corpse. And the only thing that will benefit the individual after this dunya will be what? Will be their good actions. That's the Quran mentions. Person say, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتَ. Person say, oh my Lord, let me come back into this dunya and do good deeds. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. You know, we like to utter words in this dunya. Allah repeats it back to us. These are just utterances. These are just words which have no meaning. Just like you said on the tip of your tongue, I want to repent, I want to become a better individual, but there's no azm, there's no azima, there's no strong conviction within yourself to make that change. So likewise on the day of judgment, the opportunity has been taken away. So Allah uses the same language to address us. These are mere words, they have no meaning. Rather, there's going to be a barzakh, there's going to be a barrier, a space between you and returning to this dunya, between you and inside the hereafter. And likewise, like increasing involuntary actions of ibadah. And nawafil, supererogatory actions that we... Where are we from trying to excel in doing extra actions? It increases taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Increases our obedience. But many of us, once again, find it trivial. We just want to do the bare minimum. The bare minimum will get me into Jannah. But that psyche, that mindset, isn't the mindset we have in this dunya. Persons offered an opportunity of overtime, extra wealth, extra hours, extra salary. Person takes it. For what benefit? The ahli, for his family, the awladi, for his children, for his dunya. Don't we all do that? We're human beings. Nothing haram about that. We all do that. But what happens about al-akhirah? But I don't have time to read 2 rakah. I don't have time to read any nawafil. Even now, look at half the masajid. They're coming the middle, the end of Ramadan. How many people come, oh, Salatul Tarawih, it's only recommended. We as the Awam shouldn't go into recommendations. This is what's destroyed us. Because we've become over-intelligent individuals. Oh, it's only sunnah. It's only recommended. There's no harm if I miss it. Yes, there's possibly no harm if you miss it. These are technical studies which don't concern the masses of the people. The masses of should be worried about, I need this action. We should be encouraged to do this action. If there's a dire need, a necessity, then the person can abstain from the extra actions. But as for the common practice, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, upon his sunan, upon his rawatib, he held fast to them, the 12 sunan inside the day. Even when he was travelling. Especially Salatul Fajr, I find. Or specifically Salatul Fajr, the 2 rakah before Fajr, I find. Even when he was travelling, he would pray them. But we become a people of technicalities. That if I'm travelling, do I need to offer my sunnah? What do I need to do? I should stay away from it. Even a person's fasting, a person can abstain from fasting if they want to make that choice. But some of the ulama go to you, if a person happens to be in a rhythm and don't find it difficult, complete it. Because a person, it's a right that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try your best to complete it. concept of delaying actions, delaying good deeds, takes away taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keeping good companionship. As you mentioned previously, to be in suhbatu saliha, be amongst good righteous individuals. وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ, remind you about the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remind you of ta'atullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, focus on purification of the soul. And likewise, finally, find loving Allah and His Messenger. Filling our hearts and our mind and our body with total obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith begins to continue to mention about other things that an individual needs to do with sam'i wa ta'ati, to hear and to obey. As we know that the rank or the anarchy that we find inside the Muslim world at the moment, of disobedience that we find, in general it should be an element of obedience to create stability upon this earth that we find. That is what a Muslim is trying to create, the equilibrium on the face of this earth, of a sam'a wa ta'a, obedience firstly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. That's what the Quran speaks about, obedience. It mentions without any restrictions, that you totally blindly, that you make total obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then after that comes obedience to whoever happens to rule and to govern upon you. And it's not the time I want to go into a discussion about this, but we can see that some of the shabab around us, that even this month of Ramadan, this is what the discussion has become. And a sad element is a type of language which is used towards another Muslim. Derogatory words, derogatory remarks, to down look upon another Muslim, speak ill of another Muslim. This is the blessed month of Ramadan. If we can't reform ourselves in this month, then only Allah knows when we're going to reform ourselves. If we can't see what our priorities are inside this month, then only Allah knows. May Allah guide us to when that we see the vision of what we need to do inside our lives. Because obviously this is something prophesied by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, whereby even mentioned when kana abdul habashin, even happens to be an Ethiopian slave that rules over you. Ulama begin to discuss, like Imam Khattab in this hadith, what does it mean? Does it literally mean that it can be any individual? Or is it specifically going to be an imam in Quraysh? As we know, leaders are going to be from Quraysh. This is a privilege given to them who will govern over this Muslim ummah. And that's what we need to read into history, read into the modern world. The world that we're living in at the moment isn't so black and white as people paint it. Right from there, if you look at the period, the Andalusian times, just 2 hours away from us, if I look at the Muslim empire, it collapsed. Somewhat 600 years of us Muslims ruling. How did we collapse? Read history. Squabbling. Fighting with whom? With Salibiyin? With the Crusaders? That came afterwards. We fought amongst our own selves. 21 governors in one area, or in the land of Andalus. 21 separate governors. All fighting one another. All dismantling one another. It's a strange phenomena that we lived in before and living in today, that's taking place. So the Prophet advised us, whoever lives after me, فَسَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا, will see much differences. He never said فَسَوْفَ, as ulama of Lugha mentioned, because sofa means possibly. You will definitely see there's going to be differences of opinion. It's been prophesied by the Prophet alayhi wasallam, there will be differences which reach to such a level. So what should we do? عليكم بسنتي, upon you to hold fast to the sunnah of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and the sunnah of the خلفاء الراشدين المهديين, عدوا عليها بالنواجذ, hold fast with your مولتي. The first advice, عليكم بسنتي. Look in the Muslim world at the moment. You know, sometimes we don't worry so much about non-Muslims trying to al-mustashriqun, trying to orientalists, trying to attack the sunnah, speak ill of the sunnah. That's what we expect from them. That's what we expect them to do. But the underlying factor at the moment that we're facing at times is, if I can use such words, the enemy within us. The enemy within us wants to dismantle the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and say, what relevance, what importance is the sunnah in the modern world today, the 21st century? How will the sunnah give us success? How does it help us live a modern life? How does it let us engage with the world around us? You religious clerics, you religious people, what world do you live in the 6th century? We know the type of world that we need to live in. You keep your Islam inside the masajid. Keep it inside there. We are the best people to govern the Muslim affairs and to govern the Muslim world. You keep your salah inside there. This is what we're facing at the moment. This is the reality that we're facing. And some of us, we live a downtrodden mindset as well. That's what we do, we live a downtrodden mindset. That we think, no, that's what Islam should be. Just live a life of privacy. Just live that kind of life. No, that's not what Islam is. It's been prophesied, it's going to be upheaval, it's going to be disturbance. A person needs to hold fast to the sunnah, preach to the sunnah, call to the sunnah, remind people about the sunnah. And likewise, then the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin, al-Mahdiyin, either taking literally all four of the Khulafa, or specifically Manhajul, al-Sahaba, methodology of the Sahaba, follow the footsteps of these individuals. Hold fast it with your mawlatif. Why mawlatif? Just like you hold fast to meat, to flesh, you bite on it, do not let it go. That's how tamassuk, the sort of person who hold fast to the sunnah inside their life. Whatever is said by the people, whatever claims they may make, people, you find the Quran is full whereby people make mockery, sukhriya, look down and laugh upon the believing individuals. قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Say, are you laughing and joking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about His messenger? لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَلْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Make no excuses, you're committing kufr, disbelief. Read what Sheikh Sabi Taymiyyah mentions about these ayat. He said, a person who just ridically makes jokes about the Quran, makes a joke about the sunnah, makes a joke about the lihya, about the beard, about taqsir al-thiyab, about the thaw, about the niqab, about the hijab, about rites of Islam, rituals of Islam, فهو كافر, murtad, is a disbelieving individual, has committed apostasy, doesn't chew his words, doesn't hide his words. Why? Because this leads onto the greater plague. That from within ourselves that we begin to dismantle the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and find that his identity is trivial. His life is trivial. It's just symbolic gestures towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And thus we find that the person stays away. Other advice, stay away from newly invented affairs and to stay away from innovations. This is all the path of success. Beginning with taqwallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beginning with tawheed, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beginning with consciousness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beginning with holy fast to the sunnah. Adorning yourself with the sunnah. Teaching people the sunnah. Staying away from innovation. It's quite strange. Why do people get upset? Why are people so upset? Obviously maybe the tone of language, a certain individual, how they teach people the sunnah may be wrong. But that doesn't necessarily become a reason for a person to justify bid'ah. Because the sunnah is aslu shay. The sunnah is the actual practice of the Prophet alayhi salam. A person shouldn't become offensive about that. The Prophet alayhi salam, he was the best worshipper. From the morning to the night. From life to death. He highlighted every single thing. That's why in other narrations, hadith it mentioned, I've left you upon the open plain. The clear plain. It's night is like it's day. Open, clear. No one goes against him except for they are destroyed. They destroy themselves. Meaning the sunnah is clear for a person to follow. That's what we should hold fast to. We shouldn't make our own understanding, our own excuses, our own practices. Success lies in the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ. That's what gave success. That's why the companions are so accurate, so minute inside their life. They ask for that advice. Give us an admonition that would awaken us. Give us that devotion that they wept and they cried about. That's the end of the hadith. It mentioned and become people of holding fast to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst people ahlul tawheed, or people ahlul taqwa, people of taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people ahlul sunnati wal jama'ah, people of sunnah, and calling people to the congregation to gather upon that. People raised upon good actions of ta'ah, of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take out the sufferings, the hardship, the difficulties the Muslim ummah is suffering at the moment, to unite our ranks, to bring upon us leaders who govern upon us with the Quran and the Sunnah, and bring unity amongst this Muslim ummah. Protect the Muslim blood, the Muslim honor, the Muslim dignity, the Muslim land. Take away the upheaval, the hardship, the difficulties that the Muslim ummah is facing.